this morning is, like I keep saying, is an important Sunday in the life of the church, and I want to share with you some vision things that I believe that God has in store for us as a church. In Acts 1:18, there's an incredibly powerful scripture. It says, "And you will receive power when the Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." And he's talking to his disciples, and he's challenging these young boys, these teenage guys, to go and to live out what they have learned and to do it on a large scale. Now, for us, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth, those are all physical, geographical locations. But what I want to tell you this morning is I believe that there's even more important meaning to it. It's not just the geographical locations that Jesus is referring to. These places represented something. When he talked about Samaria, he was talking to Jewish teenagers and saying, "I want you to go to the place where people are automatically going to hate you." That's what Samaria represented. And as he says Jerusalem, they're going, "Okay, yeah, I kind of get Jerusalem." Then all of a sudden he says Judea, and they're like, "All right, that's a big space, right? That's a little bit of a bigger territory here, Jesus." And all of a sudden he says Samaria, and their jaws must have dropped because they were like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, JC. I'm not sure if you mean Samaria, like the places where we try to avoid when we travel." And Jesus is like, "Yeah, you remember the time that we tried doing that? We went right through the city, and guess what happened? That city was proclaimed for Christ." Amen. So Samaria, and then all of a sudden he says the ends of the earth. He might as well have just walked them right to the edge of the earth and said, "Jump." Because in their minds, the ends of the earth was farther than they could ever think of. But for you, I think it even means something different. What does it look like for us maybe as a church? Maybe Jerusalem is our local church. Maybe Judea is our district, the Chicago Central District that we're connected to. Maybe the region that we're referring to in here, I'm sorry, Samaria is our region. You know, the Olivet region, Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, and there's one more state, Michigan. And then the ends of the earth for us could be international. It could be our reach globally through the church. But maybe what it means for you this morning is Jerusalem represents your home. Maybe Judea represents your street. Maybe Samaria represents your neighborhood. The places where God wants and needs you to live out this gospel. And the ends of the earth for you might be your town. To literally look at your town as a place for you to be able to serve. Maybe we get more specific and we look at maybe Jerusalem is your home. I'm sorry, your spouse. Maybe Jerusalem is you and that relationship that you have with your spouse. Maybe Judea is your children and that relationship you have with your spouse and then also to your children. Maybe Samaria, you know, the place that you don't necessarily want to go but know God is calling you to. Maybe that's an unsaved loved one in your family. That could be an unsaved loved one. Could be your spouse. That could be your Samaria this morning. And then maybe the ends of the earth for you, where you sit right now, could be everyone else in your story and in your life. This has multiple contexts and multiple meanings. And this morning, our panel that's up here, and I'm going to introduce them in a second, they're representing for us as a church what it looks like for us to live out this vision. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. So our vision, I call this our vision 2018. I believe that God is providing a 5-year vision for what the church here can look like and the impact that we can have. I want us to continue to be attractional. But not because we've got fancy things or because we've got all the high-tech gadgets or any of that. I want us to continue to be attractional because I want us to live missionally. I want it to be through living missionally that people become attracted to our church. Because they come to Trinity and they say, "Wow, you guys really say what you mean and mean what you say." Amen? That's what I want for us. To continue to attract people through the church to Him. But do it because we're living this out. We're not talking about it, we're doing it. People want to be a part of something big. They want to be a part of something that only God can do. And that's where we squarely place ourselves as Trinity Church of the Nazarene, right in the center of only God can do. And if you don't believe me, you can just start talking to people that attend here and they'll tell you that we live on that. We want everyone to experience the blessing and helping to support the mission of the church. I want all of us to be able to experience that blessing of what it looks like to help and to support the church. I believe that God is poising Trinity in the next 5 years to plant one, if not two churches. I believe that God is putting on our hearts and He's putting on the heart of leadership that our church can be a church that doesn't just focus here and now, but can take this and realistically duplicate the Spirit-led worship, the intensity on Scripture, the desire to live missionally and to do something with that in our areas. Naperville, Aurora, Wheaton, Warrenville, Yorkville, Oswego. I almost forgot it. But in our areas, there's 7.2 million people in those suburbs. 7.2 million. How many Nazarene churches are there? Four. I'm going to tell you right now what God is doing in His church right now and what He's done this whole entire last year. It is preparing us for something huge. Huge. God-sized. And we get to be a part of that. Isn't that awesome? That excites me. I believe that God is going to give us property to do this. I don't think that we're going to end up paying for a property. And I'm standing up here boldly proclaiming to you that I believe that God is going to give us property. And if your heart joins with my heart and we fast and we pray, God is going to do an amazing work and He's going to provide for His church. I'm sticking a lot out on the line, folks, this morning by sharing this with you. Because this is the first time that I'm publicly telling you what He's been sharing with me for the past year. And the church board knows that I've been living with this for a long time. And they've been living with this with me for a long time. And everybody that I share this with about this planting churches and about this property, I'm not kidding you. Everybody that I've brought into that little circle and have prayed with me, everyone has gone, yeah. I'm like, what? Just yeah? Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're like, yeah, no, I totally can see that. That's something that, yeah, we should do. No pushback. No, well, pastor, I don't know. We really can't afford it. We're not hearing any of that. What we're hearing is, in faithfulness, we are going to circle the promise in Revelation 3 that God will open doors that no one can shut and that He'll shut doors that no one can open. That's what we pray for in the leadership of this church, that we are diving into what God has for us. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about what God wants to do. I'm excited. We're going to continue to support current ministries like Hesed House. Do you guys realize, and Mark shared this last week in Ministry Leaderboard, that they've literally have had the highest number of volunteers from Trinity serving at Hesed House this past year than they've had in the history of the time that they've served there. I think that deserves an incredible round of applause. But here's the challenge point. Here's the challenge point. Doesn't that just make sense? Shouldn't that just happen anyway? Because that's what the church is. And so we're going to continue to do ministries like Hesed House and other ministries that we've already have been currently running. But I also believe that we're going to be launching new ministries. One of the ministries you're going to hear this morning is Lauren Dill works for a company or organization, not company, sorry, an organization called Feed My Starving Children. And over 30 of you on February 16th, went and served a mobile pack. And we packed boxes, and we were among 200 at that time. But how many total were there? Do you know that number off the... How many? There were 2,000 people that met at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church for this mobile pack. And in the time that we were there, the 2 hours, our group fed 116 children for an entire year. Every day they'll get food, 3 meals a day, for an entire year, 116 kids. That is awesome. So guess what? We're going to join in with them. We're going to continue to serve at Feed My Starving Children, and we're going to provide opportunities for you to be able to go. I'm encouraged that we have people here that every Wednesday go over there and they serve faithfully to do Feed My Starving Children. Every Wednesday before prayer meeting, they go over and they serve, and then they come to prayer meeting. That's awesome. But I also see us taking a really intentional approach to orphan care and an orphan initiative. You've heard me make a couple of announcements. We have a group of people here at Trinity that are passionate about reaching that need. And so I believe that we're going to be stepping up into that area of orphan care and an orphan initiative, and that we will be providing opportunities for safe families, meaning that you, people here, can become a part of this incredible network where when there is a child that doesn't need foster care, they just need a temporary place, a safe family for them to go to, that we will provide opportunities for them to link into to safe families that are going to be here at Trinity. How cool is that? I think that's cool. I also see a meal ministry, and we've been having meetings about this, and we're going to be taking this meal ministry to another level. And our hope and our prayer is that God will continue to provide for us there. We're going to continue to do mission trips. You know, this past year, in January, we went to Costa Rica. We took 15 people and did an incredible work there. We're going to continue to do that. But then also, we're going to be going to Haiti. So we're going to sponsor a trip to Haiti in January. So if that's something that God's put on your heart, we're going to go, and that's going to be an incredible experience. So mark your calendars. January of 2014, we're going to be going to Haiti. And then also circle the calendar for Costa Rica in 2014 in the summer. So we're going to be going back to Costa Rica. So we have two trips that are already on the books. And that Costa Rica trip actually is going to be hopefully a family trip. So we're going to be able to take students, teenagers, and potentially junior hires on that trip. And families will be able to go and serve in Costa Rica. On February 26, 2012, I made a promise to you. I stood right here and I said that I would never mention money again. You remember that? Because last year we were close to meeting all of our budgets, but we weren't quite there, and I had to get up. And in my first three Sundays as your senior pastor, I was begging you for money, right? And you all were very gracious, but I made a promise to you. I said that I would not get up here and I would not talk about money. And I'm going to tell you that that has been true. Not once have I had to get up here. Because guess what? Only God provides for the church. The church is not in need. The church is not in need. Do you hear me? The church is not in need because God supplies for us, and He chooses to use us to do it. How cool is that? So I want to tell you that today is not about money. What you're going to hear is not about money. And just PS right now, kind of set your watches. We're going to blow the time away. Okay? So God's just, He's communicating too much right now, and I just want to make sure you're aware. Today is about obedience. It's about obedience. It's about listening to what God would have for us. I believe this morning that God is using this day and what we do from here and then next week when we receive the pledges. We're not going to do anything financial today. Nothing. Okay? But I believe that it's out of obedience that we're here and we're having this service. And I can tell you this, that God's already provided. We've already had a donor outside of the Trinity family that has given over $8,000 to the Power of One campaign. We already have, before we even started, before we even talked to you about the vision, we have somebody has already given $8,000 towards this initiative. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's incredible. I mean, without even having to say anything. So when you include our budgets to World Evangelism Fund, and you include our budgets to the district, with the $52,000 that our hope is that we're going to raise to support missions next year, for this whole entire year, starting right now, Trinity is poised to give over $120,000 to missions this coming year. Isn't that incredible? I mean, that's incredible. So now what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk about this panel, why they're here. And some of these faces are new to you. But the incredible thing is When we talk about today and we talk about the mission and we talk about funding and we talk about raising the $52,000, every single penny that comes into Trinity, we'll be able to tell you where it's going. We'll be able to communicate to you exactly where that the impact that that's having on missions. It's something that you can give in confidence knowing that it's going to be intentional to where we are right now as a church. So let me just kind of introduce some people here. Derek Deal and Lauren Seaman, they are from Lincoln Park in Chicago, and they are actually going to be planting a church there, a Nazarene church. And Lauren and I actually have been talking on the phone quite a bit, and one of the things that I told him was I wanted our congregation to hear and to listen that maybe he's putting on your heart to move to Lincoln Park and to partner with them to plant this church. And he was like, "You're really going to say that?" And I said, "Absolutely." Because again, this isn't about us. This isn't about trying to hoard as many people as we can here and to try to grow the church. I mean, we're here to grow the kingdom. Amen? And so I want you, when they share, to hear that and to hear maybe what God is saying to you in that time. Obviously, Lauren Dill is a member of Trinity, and she is working with Feed My Starving Children, and you're going to hear a little bit about that. Carla Lovett, who also is a member of Trinity, is going to be sharing with us about Costa Rica and about the partnership that we have with the Chicago Central District and what that all looks like as we become a church that partners with the Costa Rica North District. So she'll be sharing that. And then Malcolm Henderson and the Henderson family. Sorry, I'm having some microphone difficulties. Malcolm is also a member of Trinity Church, and obviously you've heard his story, and some people have said, Malcolm, that you're at like rock star status, right? But the best part is, I only said that to him because it really makes him mad. It really, I just wanted to see how he was going to handle it publicly, because usually he yells at me. But you know what? The cool thing is, the reason why we've had Malcolm share as much as he has is because I don't know very many people that have had two terrible surgeries that have gone terribly wrong, have a van literally burned to the ground in front of him, and then literally has chosen to get rid of every possession that they have and move to Haiti. And through all of those trials and all those tribulations says, yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is just kind of what's supposed to happen, right? And so we definitely just appreciate. Can we show appreciation to our panel this morning? So I kind of had a line of questioning that I was going to ask, but obviously we're getting close to the point of no return. But at the same time, there is one question that I did want to ask the panel and have you guys kind of share. What does it, there's this huge push right now for churches to kind of like live missionally. And there's a lot of excitement around it. You've got David Platt's books that are coming out. You've got Kinnaman, who's been writing about, you know, a generation that's lost because the church hasn't done enough. You talk about Francis Chan, who, you know, literally left his church, a church that was a huge mega church in California. And now he lives in San Francisco in literally the ghetto. I mean, like, that's where he's working. And so there's this big push. Why do you think that is? What is it about this time that has made this more predominant now? Why are we talking about it more now? What do you guys think?
They're looking at me because I'm the one with all the papers. I'd be glad to start. I think there's a couple of reasons. I think part of it is our access to media and to information. And so in the fact that we are indeed very much a missional age, I would not want to discredit all the missionaries that have gone before and all the work that has been done right before. And in many ways, we think about historically how, with regards to science, those who come after are, you know, living and working on the shoulders and have been built on the shoulders of the giants who have come before. And the same thing has happened for missions. And so just to recognize that. The other piece that I think is important, and that is a generational shift. So we go from Generation X, who was really involved during the Cold War with a paradigm for that. Think Billy Graham Crusades. And then we come now to Generation Y. And Generation Y are very much brought up in an age that is incredibly uncertain. These are folks who have lived through the 90s. They lived through the dot-com bubble. They lived through 9/11. They have lived through the uncertainty since then. These are folks who aren't necessarily so materialistically attached or so understanding of security and the traditional ways in which we attain that, that Gen X and before has been. And what they do then is they want to be doers. They understand faith, they have faith for themselves, and they want to do something about that. They want to integrate that into their lives. And so what happens then is they want to find a way to get involved. And they really get it. They understand that the mission of the church is missions. They get that part. They think for themselves this. They say, you know what? Here I am. I am incredibly blessed. But I don't think that I have the right to hear the gospel twice until everyone has had a chance to hear the gospel once. Mm. And they really want to do something about that. They say, look, we talk about the second coming, but half the world hasn't even heard about the first coming. And what are we going to do about that? And so they take ownership for this understanding that this generation of Christians, this is us, this generation of Christians is responsible for this generation of souls.
Right.
And then they go ahead and respond to that. So
yeah, and
it's
so
the doing piece, they really get it.
So then what does that look like? Because I completely agree. So then what does that look like for people that are sitting here? I mean, how do we live missionally then? I mean, because not everybody has the opportunity to, you know, move to Chicago. I mean, Lauren, you're coming from Washington. You're out on the way East Coast. And Derek, you were up in Michigan serving in a church up there. And then you guys felt this, you felt compelled to move to Chicago and to start a church in Lincoln Park. I mean, that's crazy. But not everybody has that ability to do that. So what does it look like for us to live missionally? I mean, what are some of those things?
It's actually funny. One of the things we talk about in we've only been church planners for about 7 months now. I've been a Christian for probably 12 years, got saved at Olivet 12 years ago. And it's funny, I say that as sometimes when I talk to people, I say, I've been a church planter for 6-7 months, and I've been a Christian for 12 years, but I should have been living like a church planter for the 12 years that I've been a Christian.
Wow.
It sounds like an elementary, kind of basic, foundational thing. But the practice of that hasn't been a reality in my faith. And I think, you know, we're going into a situation in Lincoln Park where, although we would love the blessing of having a big team around us coming in and, you know, troops on the ground with us, we did. We came from Washington, D.C. They came from Michigan. And it's the four of us. It's our two families. And the only way to grow or build a church is to actually be in relationship and be intentional with those people that God is placing directly in our circumstances. That's the only possible way to do that. And so this compelling call, which is biblical, the Great Commission, this idea that, you know, we're to be intentional in making disciples, both, you know, this idea of, you know, one that you guys are emphasizing here, it's this broader, it's this one responsibility of each of us as followers of Christ.
Right, right.
And then this corporate component of it. That allows us to do some of these broader missional, you know, Judea, Samaria kind of aspects of it. And so in a place like Lincoln Park, as we've recognized, I mean, it's just, you know, anyone that crosses our path, we're trying to build relationship with. And the people that God is placing almost literally in our laps that are craving these kinds of conversations, we're recognizing, man, we've been missing it. Like, people want these kinds of conversations, and all it's taken is a subtle little a conversation to begin that process. So that's part of our process in Lincoln Park at this point.
Yeah, and you know, it's amazing because they, you know, there are families that moved. In fact, Courtney and Ketley. So Ketley, if you just raise your hand, that's actually Derek's wife. And then Courtney is up here. That's Lauren's wife. And they have literally have bought houses in Lincoln Park, and they are creating this church from scratch. You know, and I mean, no, for me, and one of the things I know these guys, Derek actually interned with me at Kankakee First Church when I was there in senior high ministry. And so when they started talking about the passion that they have, that draws me in, you know, and I hope my hope for us as a church is it draws us all in and we go, we want to be a part of something, what God wants to do in Lincoln Park, Chicago. Yeah, it's not Naperville, it's not Aurora, but it's the kingdom, you know, and I think that that's extremely important. And so knowing that this missional living is, it's really kind of, it's a call that God places on all of our lives. I mean, Malcolm, you would agree that this is something that really everybody should be doing. I mean, not just, so you're going to Haiti, right? And that's pretty radical. And, you know, I don't feel called to Haiti, but I feel called to Trinity in Naperville. So what does it look like? I mean, when you get on the ground down there, what is guiding you? What is your What is your passion, your emphasis? Like, what's God sharing with you about why you're going?
Well, I think living missionally, to start off, is just simply living obediently. I don't think it's an option for a Christian. I don't think it's something you put on the table and try and discern whether you should do it or not. And I really believe, you know, if we're not doing something, I fear for people that aren't doing anything, because it's there's direct, you know, commands in the Bible about faith without works is dead, and you have to take that literally. You have to take the Great Commission literally. And the Great Commission wasn't able to be performed until he received the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And now we all have the Holy Spirit in us when we're saved, and we need to use that power and unleash it and go out into the world and do something with this. I do not accept the fact that 300 miles off our shore, we have the poorest country in the world that's chained to Satan. I don't accept that.
Right.
When I went down there, it wasn't this big rock star thing like you said, I'm going to move down here. And it wasn't that. It was, I'm seeing Satan unopposed. And that's unacceptable.
Yeah, and too. Isn't that picture that we're looking at right there, that's the building, that's the school, correct?
Yeah, that's one third of it, yeah.
So that's one third of the school that has already been built down in Haiti, and that's a part of what you're doing.
Yeah, part of what I'm doing. But, you know, I also don't want to get, you know, I really was praying the other night about, God, give me something in the Bible to be able to sum up what I feel and what I'm, you know, trying to do here, because I know what I'm doing, but how, biblically, what's my backing? And so God brought me to Acts 26:17-18, which reads, I will rescue you from the people to whom I now send you, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a share among those who are sanctified by faith in me.
Hmm.
For me, the buildings and all that are great and they're needed, and people need to be educated. Healthcare needs to be performed. People need to be healthy. But for me, if your soul isn't healthy, that's my priority for
Haiti.
So my bold statement is, we serve a big God, and I don't have little plans in any way. And I would want to eradicate voodoo from Haiti. And that's that's a huge saying, and it seems arrogant, but it's not arrogant. It's me putting faith in a God that's so big.
It's bigger than that.
And we constantly, you know, suppress that, and we need to notice how big our God is. And
yeah.
The Great Commission isn't an option. And it, you know, it says, Luke 6:46 says, you know, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? If we don't do the things he says, then what are we doing?
Right.
Are we sitting in here every week just listening to people and then going out the week? Are we actually living this thing out, and we're going to go up to heaven and hear, well done, good and faithful servant, rather than, I never knew you?
Well, and the fact that he says in the scripture that there will be many on that day that will cry out, Lord, Lord, and he's going to look at them and say, I never knew you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's, and that's powerful.
That's very powerful. That's scary.
And, you know, that's something that, you know, Malcolm and Joy have, they've raised a ton of funding for Haiti and for specifically their area where they're going to do the schools and also healthcare and those types of things. But the one area that they haven't raised funding for is actually for them to live there. And some people would say, what in the world? That should have been the first thing you would do. But knowing his heart and knowing that he has said, no, God will provide. And also, too, knowing that the relationship that we have the opportunity as Trinity to send them out as missionaries into this world, and that we have the opportunity to provide for them and to help sustain them as a church and become a part of a work that is far greater than we could ever do on our own. And we have that connection with right here. And there have been many people in this congregation that have approached Malcolm and have said, hey, I want to help you. What can we do? How can we help? And he's always turned it back and has said, wait until we share this. Because Malcolm and Joy and the Hendersons, their heart is that for Trinity and for us to be a part of the bigger picture and for us to receive a blessing out of partnering with them. And so, in almost in a way, he's turned people down from accepting their money and said, let's do this the right way through the church, and allow the church to partner with them. And so I think that is just absolutely incredible. And it's something that really, again, it excites me for what it looks like to live missionally. This is one of the things that we do locally right now already with our partnership with Costa Rica. One of the things that we did last year was we raised $10,000 that served as project funding for it to go directly to our project, which was Cañas Dulces in Costa Rica. And so what I would like Carla to do is share with you what that partnership, you know, looks like, and what does it look like moving forward in the future as well.
But you know my background is in history, so I'm going to indulge myself and give you just a little bit of the background. But first of all, what I want to say is this, and that is how incredibly blessed we are to belong to a denomination that emphasizes missions at the level that we do. Every denomination has an emphasis and has a focus. And for Church of the Nazarene, it has been historically, since the church became a denomination in 1908, it has been historically two things, education, Olivet Nazarene University and plenty of others, and it's been missions. And we as a denomination have said that we have three core values. One is to be missional. We are number one, we're Christian.
That's
we
right.
are number two, missional. And number three, it's about holiness. And we were developed
right.
as a denomination out of the Great Commission. That is what drove us coming out of the Second Great Awakening at the end of the 19th century. We said we are going to be a Great Commission church. And therefore, the missions piece has been huge. And so what this looks like today is this, and that is we are about the 20th in if you talk about size of denominations, we rank about 20th. We have 2.1 million members worldwide. That's pretty impressive. We're about 20th. But when it comes to the number of missionaries that we have, we rank 8th. We have approximately 600 missionaries, career missionaries, funded by the Church of the Nazarene, who do not have to worry about their salaries. Many folks, and you hear Malcolm's situation, going out on their own, have to raise all of their own support. The Church of the Nazarene, the money that we give here in this church for missions, part of our budget goes to pay for all the missionaries, all 600. They don't have to worry about their salaries. They can spend 100% of their time pursuing missions and the gospel. And so basically then, we have right now in the Church of the Nazarene 26,000 congregations around the world in 159 world areas. 26,000 congregations just like us in Naperville. Some bigger, some smaller, but there you are. And so we are part of an incredible denomination who works together, power of one, in one big budget, sending out these missionaries then to accomplish this work. And so that's kind of the background. Beyond that, we are divided then into districts. We're a hierarchical denomination. And above the local church is the district. And on our district, we're the Chicago Central District. We have about 60 churches, hopefully 61 real soon. We have, then there's a district superintendent. And our district superintendent is a fellow named Brian Wilson. Brian Wilson grew up in Costa Rica. And in fact, his father was responsible for planting the church in Cañas Dulces that we went and worked on in December and January. And he had a vision. He knows that one of the programs we have in the Church of the Nazarene is Work and Witness, and that we have sent historically Work and Witness teams throughout the entire globe into so many different areas. And he said, you know what we need to do? We need to partner our district here in Chicago Central District with a district in Costa Rica North, and we need to come together one partnership, and we need to just blitz this district. And so we have here on the district a 5-year partnership. And we are now into 2 years into it. 2 years into it, the Chicago Central District has sent 10 teams and over $140,000 to Costa Rica North to really just blitz this district and get them going. They have a vision, and God is there. And there are pastors and Christians. They just need infrastructure, and they need some support. And that's what we've been able to do. So 2 years in. And, of course, you know we were one of those 10 teams. And what that looked like. And now you're hearing from Pastor the vision that we have to send another team next summer, maybe back to Cañas Dulces, maybe to another area. But the focus of this team, for those of you who didn't have a chance to go on the first team, we definitely invite you. It's life-changing, obviously, for the folks in Costa Rica, but it's life-changing for us as well here. And so there'll be a lot more information coming out about that. But again, one more example of the power of one, Chicago Central District, Costa Rica North, coming together and what's being done.
Yeah, and the coolest thing is about what Carla was sharing is our World Evangelism Fund budget actually funds what Carla was sharing. So we are fully funded in that area, and that's a part of the piece where our apportionment is basically the church's tithe. The church's tithe is going to those areas. And then what we're talking about today is really the church's offering. It's above and beyond. It's sacrificial. It's an opportunity for us to do something big. And the other cool part about it is everything that we're talking about today has intimate connection to Trinity. I mean, we have their faces. There are people that we know. We can bring them back to share what this looks like, what the things that are happening, the exciting portions of that. And so for us, we're doing something that's even far greater than what a lot of other even Nazarene churches are doing, because we just kind of feel called in that. We kind of feel called that we need to be a church that doesn't just tithe, but also gives offering. Amen. You know, and what that looks like in the global impact.
I could just jump on that. Our budget pays for everything that's going now. So when he mentions the World Evangelism Fund, that keeps missions running at the level that we're doing now, which is phenomenal and amazing. But as it turns out, it's not all that we want to do. So the offerings that we have on top of that, these extra kinds of things that we do, that will pay to expand this vision in Costa Rica, in Haiti, elsewhere.
So, right. Yeah. And the other part of that, too, is Kathy Poliak. And Kathy, if you just raise your hand for me real quick. Kathy is going to share with us next week about the part of this that's Nazarene intensive. I mean, the initiatives that we want to launch out as far as because of the Church of Nazarene, like Links and PowPax and World Mission Broadcast and all of those areas. So we're excited about that. Lauren, I want to give you an opportunity to share because you have a unique position. We have the opportunity to give to a global mission and also have it affect local missions. But Feed My Starving Children is something that's here based locally that we can become a part of, but has global impact. So it doesn't take much for us to drive over to Myers, right? Because that's where the facility is, right behind the Myers on Route 59. And we could go there. And when you go there, you're doing something locally, but it has a global impact. So that we felt that was such a unique opportunity, a partnership. I wanted Lauren to share what the impact that Feed My Starving Children is having around the world. So Lauren, would you share with us?
I think one of the really cool things about Feed My Starving Children, first off, is it allows people to get involved as a family. You know, if you go on a mission trip, you know, you have to raise the money. Maybe one or two people can go. But you can be as young as 5 years old and serve at Feed My Starving Children. So you can go with your family and kids can grow up doing this and serving. And I think it's really cool that it's just something that you can, you know, grow up and help other people. And I actually have one of our success stories. So you guys can actually see the difference that you're able to make in people's lives around the world. And my first picture is of Marilyn. This is Marilyn. She's in Haiti. And this photo was taken on January 12, 2010. And I don't know if any of you remember what happened on January 12, 2010, but that's the day that the big earthquake hit. And Marilyn was actually taken to a hospital. And she was in late stages of tuberculosis, and she was very obviously starving. And she had a club foot, and they actually turned her away. This tiny little girl, she's 3 years old, and they turned her away because they didn't think she was going to make it. And they took her to a second hospital, and they did the same thing. They turned her away. But she was lucky enough to be brought to one of Feed My Starving Children's partners called Reach Haiti. And they took her to a third hospital, and they treated her. And they treated her by feeding her Feed My Starving Children food. And she received two meals a day. And 7 months later, she looked like this. And I just think that it's absolutely incredible that we here, just by giving an hour and a half or 2 hours at a time, that we're able to help little girls like Marilyn. I actually have a coworker who's met her in person, and I have one more picture of her more recently. And my coworker took this picture, and she met her in person and said that she's really, really shy, but as soon as you pull out that camera, she just puts on this big cheesy grin. And people here were able to make that difference in her life. She's able to have a future and to have dreams. And I'm just so excited to be a part of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, again, this is just a small cross-section of some of the intentional missional ministry efforts that we're going to be making. And we want to partner with these ministries, and we want to launch them out as a church. But, of course, it takes funding. You know, as I, you know, promise not to talk about the money, you know, it's also a part of it too. And so what we'd like for you to do is think about and pray over Chicago, to think about and pray over Feed My Starving Children, to think over and pray about our work in Costa Rica, to think about as we launch the Henderson family, as they are now literally, they have no home of their own. I mean, they have a place to live right now, but technically, you know, you would be homeless, right? I mean, now, but they're heading to Haiti in the next 2 weeks. So we think about that. And then we also think about our work at Hesed House. We think about new ministry opportunities like Hope for Tomorrow. We think about partnering with an orphan initiative and Save Families. All of these things are all incredible opportunities, but they're all far greater than us. It's bigger than what we can do, and we can't do it on our own. But if we were to be serious about linking in with what God would have for us, there's incredible amounts of opportunity for this church to just do something huge for God. And so as you leave this morning, I'm going to invite the band to come up, and I'm going to allow the panel to go and sit. But can we show our appreciation to them? And I know that we, again, we shared just really kind of quickly, but at the same time, I hope that you heard an incredible opportunity in each of these areas. And then on your way out, as we close with this song, there are bracelets that are on the back. They're white bracelets. They say the power of one on them. I want everybody to take one. There's adult sizes and there's youth sizes. And I'm going to need some hands. If I could get some board members to go back and stand and help us to distribute the bracelets. But then also we have cards, commitment cards for the Power of One campaign. And on that card, it's going to communicate to you basically what we're doing and how you can partner with us. And so look at that card. And then this is what I'm going to ask us to do. I want to call for a church-wide fast between now and next Sunday. Now, obviously, we did a whole series on fasting. So, you know, when I say that, I mean, it can be many things or multiple things. It doesn't just have to be food. But I want you to give up something for the next week. And during that, whatever it is that you're going to give up, or when you think about that thing, I want you to pray about what God would have you do for making a commitment to Him. It's not to the church. We don't keep record of who gave what. The only way we do that is so that you have a statement at the end of the year to know the amount. But the church does not track that as far as, you know, coming to you and saying, hey, remember that time you told us you were going to give this amount? We don't do any type of follow-up like that. This is between you and God. But it's an opportunity for you to really think and listen in of what God would have you do. And so next Sunday, we're going to gather back in this place and we're going to be able to give over those commitments to God. And our goal, like I said, is $52,000. It's a big goal. But if we are able to raise that amount, we'll be able to fund everything that we've shared with today, as well as some of the other things that you haven't necessarily heard yet. I mean, out of that money, or out of that funding comes opportunities directly related to our care for people within even a mile radius of this church and how we can be reaching out intentionally to our community. So if you, from here, again, when the band starts to play, that'll be the official end of our service. On your way out, we want you to pick up a band, and we want you to pick up a commitment card. And then across the hall, we'll start on family stuff. And we invite all of you to stay. It's a free meal, just an opportunity for us to be able to get together and to be able to just fellowship with one another. And thank you so much for being here this morning. I'm going to close in a word of prayer if you want to stand with me. And then we'll believe in on big things for what God has for us as we gather back here in this place next week. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray right now that as we end this service, Lord, that you are pleased with our hearts, Lord, that you are pleased with our efforts and the challenge that we've brought to our people to not just give missionally, but to live missionally. Because when we give missionally or when we live missionally, it helps us to understand that giving is a part of that. And so, Lord, I pray that that you would be opening again our hearts. Lord, that this week we would take serious the work of fasting and praying over what you would have us to do in this area. Lord, I thank you for each of the ministries that were represented here today. I thank you for the church plan in Lincoln Park, Chicago. I pray for Derek and I pray for Lauren, and I pray that they would be filled with your Spirit, Lord, as they continue to move down this road of church planting. And Lord, you know how incredibly difficult that is and how they have zero funding right now. And the only funding that they have is what comes in from local support, Lord. Help us to be a church that takes serious that work of seeing churches planted in the Chicago area. Lord, I pray for Feed My Starving Children and the work that they will continue to have around the world and how we can partner with them locally to have that global impact. And Lord, as far as our ends of the earth, we look at Costa Rica and we look at Haiti. We see the incredible opportunity we have to do another trip to Costa Rica and to partner with the church and to see you do incredible things as our district partners with the Costa Rican North District. And as well, Lord, as Haiti, as we continue that partnership and we move down the road of raising incredible support for the Henderson family, Lord, for them to be able to live on the ground and not have to worry about their funding for themselves, and they can be able to proclaim that all the money that's come in has gone towards the projects and has gone towards the community. And so, Lord, we are thanking you for family stuff this morning and for the meal. We're praying that you would be glorified around the table, that there'd be great conversation. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity we have to share your vision, your mission, and the work that you want to do here at Trinity. Lord, again, we give you honor and praise for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.